Acts 1. Dwayne Imes' father, Buddy, passed away yesterday morning, and there will be a viewing Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the 13th Street Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky, and the funeral will be at 11, or 1, so everybody remember him and that family. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord. I've entitled this message, One Accord. These were all of one accord and one mind. They heard the Lord pray this for them. Look in John chapter 17, just a few pages back. In his great high priestly prayer for his people. Neither pray I for these alone, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He's talking about me and you. I'm not just praying for the disciples. I'm praying for every believer. All of God's elect, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now this is Christ's prayer for his church. And understand this, all of God's people are of one accord. Look in Acts chapter 2. They're now experiencing what Christ prayed for them. I love that psalm, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Look in verse 41 of the same chapter. After Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. In breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Look in Acts chapter 4. After they had heard about Peter and John being released. Verse 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Now remember, this is the early church. This was just a few days after the cross. This sermon of Pentecost where 3,000 people were saved. They had not been saved very long. Yet look at what unity was between these people. They lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ for the truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now this is the prayer of the early church. Look at the understanding they had. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They prayed for the boldness of the men in preaching the gospel of God's grace. Now, they were with one accord in their prayers and in their supplications. Now, prayer. God does what He's going to do through the prayers of His people. He's going to inspire you to pray. That prayer that's true prayer that you prayed didn't come from you. It came from His Spirit inspiring you to pray about something. If He's going to save somebody, He's going to inspire you to pray for them. And oh, how earnestly you're going to pray. He works through the prayers of His people. Now, He inspires them. He answers them. I heard somebody once say, I believe in prayer. I don't so much believe in prayer. I believe in the God who answers prayer. I believe in the God who ordains prayer. I believe in the God who uses prayer. Our prayers, not much to them. Matter of fact, they're not anything to them. The only way they can be accepted is if Christ takes them and presents them before the Father by His intercession. Somebody says, I really prayed. Did you now? I don't know whether you did or not. But I know if you did, and if your prayers reached the ear of the Father, it's because Christ presented them and made them acceptable. Otherwise, they couldn't be accepted. But they were in one accord in this thing of prayer and in this thing of supplication. Supplication simply means needs. You know, if we're believers, we have the same needs. I'm not talking about a new car or a new house. I'm talking about I need mercy. I need grace. I need Christ. I need the gift of faith. I need boldness in order to preach the gospel. I need His blessing. They were in one accord in this thing of prayer and supplication. Now, there's a great emphasis put on this in the Scriptures. Believers being of one accord, of one mind, believing the same things. You see, if we're believers, we're not believers who believe differently. We're believers who believe the same thing. All believers believe precisely the same thing. You see, they've been taught by the same Spirit. They've been taught the same gospel. They've been saved the same way. And they believe the same thing. These believers were of one accord. And how beautiful that was when God worked so mightily through the fellowship of these believers. Now, I want you to look at the emphasis placed in the Scripture on this. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. This is a very important subject. Verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any encouragement, any solace, any refreshment, if any comfort of love, are you comforted that His love is to you, doesn't have anything to do with any loveliness in you, but that it's as you are in Him? Comfort in His love. Fellowship of the Spirit. If any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. That's being of one accord. Having the same love. Being of one accord and of one mind. Now, being of the same love, I love this thought. Richard, if my wife loves you more than she does me, we've got problems. That's obvious, isn't it? But if my wife loves Christ more than she loves me, I couldn't ask for anything more. I'd be so happy. The same love. Every believer has the same love. I want to love Christ more than I want to love you. Now, I want to love you. Don't get me wrong, but I want to love Christ more than I love you. He is the object of the believer's affection. The same comfort. Look, let Fulfill ye my joy, verse 2, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. You say, is that possible? Sure it is. Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Every believer possesses the mind of Christ. You know what that means? We think the same things He does. You know, He knows that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in His body. You reckon He knows that? Of course He does. We know it too, don't we? He knows He gets all the glory in salvation. You know who else knows that? Every believer. We share in His mind. He knows He's all. We know He's all. We have the mind of Christ. We think the same things He thinks. There's so many scriptures with regard to this. Now, here's something that's very sobering, talking about all believers being of one accord. This accord can be compromised. Now, that's a very sobering thought. But this accord, this unity, can be compromised. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says to the church at Corinth in verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, no schisms, no differences, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I'm a Paul. I learned the gospel through Paul. And somebody says, well, I learned the gospel through Apollos. And somebody else said, well, I'm Cephas. And then the real pious one said, well, I'm Christ. I didn't hear any man. It was just Christ who taught me the gospel directly. So Paul asked this question. Is Christ divided? Are there divisions in the body of Christ? Are there different denominations? I think denominations are so foolish. They're completely man-made. You don't find anything in the Bible about denominations. Well, I think they're important. No, they're not. If they were, they'd be in the Bible. It's a man-made division is what it is. That's all it is. Is Christ divided? Absolutely not. Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus, and besides I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's my purpose, to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, not trying to package it in such a way as to make it more appealing to the flesh, to try to get people to believe. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says to the church at Corinth, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither now are ye able, for you're yet carnal. For whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men, walk as unregenerate, lost men? That's the way you're walking with these things. Now, I think of the sad story of Paul and Barnabas. You can read about it in Acts chapter 15. These were the apostle and Barnabas, but they had a contention about Mark. And the scripture says they departed asunder in anger. They just split up. I'm not having anything to do with him. I'm not having anything to do with him. And this division was wrong. As a matter of fact, Paul ends up saying regarding Mark, bring him to me, for he's profitable to the ministry. But he and Barnabas split up over this. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. You see, keeping this unity Keeping this spirit of unity takes effort on our part. It's only by the grace of God, but it takes effort on our part. You say, well, there'll be unity. I'm going to do my own thing. God will overcome. No, He won't. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you were called. Now, what is this worthy walk? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, giving every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And how's that done? By walking in lowliness, true humility, a just estimate of yourself. That's what humility is. A just estimate of yourself. What's a just estimate of yourself? That you're the chief of sinners and saved only by the grace of God. That's a just estimate of yourself. And you're to look at others. You know yourself better than other people do. We ought to esteem others as better than ourselves every single time. And that's what he's talking about, this humility. You walk in humility, meekness, knowing that God is the first cause behind all things, and whatever He sends my way is Him sending it my way. Therefore, it's good. Even if it's painful, it's good because it's Him doing it. With long suffering, long tempered, forbearing one another. You know what that means? That word's a good word. It means putting up with one another. Overlooking one another. Putting up with one another. One another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now here's the unity of the Spirit. There's one body. The church. There's one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, even if you're called in one hope of your calling. There's only one hope. There's only one hope. Now listen to me carefully. The only hope I have is that Jesus Christ died for me. Well, everybody has a hope then. No, it doesn't. No, they don't, because He didn't die for everybody. He died for those who believe. He died for His elect. He died for those the Father gave Him. And if you tell me that He can die for somebody, and they can wind up in hell because they didn't do whatever it is they're supposed to do to make what He did work for them, you take away my only hope, because my only hope is that Jesus Christ died for me. There's one hope. Let's go on reading. Verse 5. There's one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Sovereign of the universe. There's one faith, the faith of God's elect. There's one baptism, not two or three, one baptism. Baptism by immersion, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Turn back to Romans 15. I know I'm having you to look at a lot of scriptures, but I want to see the importance of this thing being one accord and one mind. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you. And this is the only way it'll be, is if He grants it to us by His grace, to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now let me tell you exactly what that means. That means when I look at you, I look at you as somebody who's in Christ. Somebody who God is pleased with. Somebody who's justified. I'm to look at you as Christ looks at you. And you're to look at me as Christ looks at me. That's what it is to be like-minded. Verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, when the Lord teaches us to pray, what is the first word in the disciples' prayer? Our Father. Not my Father, but our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We pray with all of God's people. When it says they were all in one accord, they were all in true agreement, they were all of one mind. And that is what is conveyed in what we confess. Confess means literally to speak the same thing. Now, if I'm confessing Christ, I'm confessing the same thing you're confessing if you confess Christ. And if one of us have a different confession, a different belief, one of us are not confessing Christ. Because the confession of Christ is always the same with all of God's people. We believe the same things. Now, I'm gonna read you something that somebody said about this thing of being one accord. And the reason I want to read it is it says words that I don't even know what they mean. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's a musical example, and it talks about pitch and tone. And I got to think about it. I don't know what pitch means or what tone means. I mean, I'm totally ignorant when it comes to music. I love to listen to music, but you can ask my sister Sherry. When we took piano lessons when we were kids, and they had that musical theory, and I hated it. I didn't care about it. Didn't know what. So that's the way I am about this kind of stuff. But still, I think this is good. Listen. One man said the word helps us, one accord. The word helps us to understand the uniqueness of Christian fellowship. It's a compound of two words, meaning to rush along and in unison. The image is musical. A number of notes are sounded, which, while different, harmonize in pitch and tone. And you know, like I said, I don't know what that means, but maybe you do. So maybe I sort of know what it means. I know intuitively, but if you asked me to give a definition, I couldn't do it. But it says they harmonize in pitch and tone as the instruments of a great concert under the direction of a concert master. They sing one song, so the Holy Spirit blends together the lives of the members of Christ's church to sing one song, the gospel. Different people. Different notes, yet one song. Now, while there is diversity in the body and people who in some respects are very different, Lynn tells me different is good. I'm not so sure, but it does just like me, but we all know better than that, don't we? While people are different, different tastes, different likes, different dislikes, still there is true unity in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are of one accord. Now, what are we in agreement about if we truly are in one accord? Well, you've got to begin here. Every believer is in one accord about this. The Bible is the Word of God. Now somebody says, well, I don't agree with that. Well, me and you aren't one accord then. Everything we believe comes from the Bible. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. The Bible claims divine inspiration. All Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament. When he was writing this, the New Testament canon had not yet been completed. He was speaking specifically of the Old Testament Scriptures, but he's talking about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. Why do you believe what you believe? Because it's what the Bible says. What you believe about God, regarding God, regarding Christ, regarding God the Holy Spirit, is seen in your attitude toward this book. This book is, as it claims to be, the divinely inspired Word of God. And when I preach, all I ask you to do is look and see if what I'm saying is according to the Scriptures. That's it. I don't have any other appeal. Is what I'm saying according to the Scriptures. We believe that God is, as the Bible declares Him to be, holy, sovereign, all-powerful, absolutely just, immutable, independent, omniscient, omnipresent. We believe God is as this Word declares Him to be. And we believe man is as this Word declares Him to be. I really believe that when God looks at this man apart from Christ, he sees someone, as he said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know, I really believe that about myself. Do you? I really believe. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I believe what the Bible says about man, what it says about me. But most especially, I believe what the Bible says about salvation. It's in Christ Jesus the Lord. All that God has for the sinner, all this holy God, as the Bible describes Him to be, all He has for the sinner is in Christ and for Christ's sake. I believe that. We're all in agreement concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. I don't know of anything I get more pleasure out of saying than this. Jesus is God. I love that. Jesus is God. He's the Creator. He's the one who brought the worlds into existence. He's the one who controls everything. The God of providence. He's controlling you right now. He's the God of salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. And when we talk about salvation being of the Lord, that means your salvation is not in your hands. It's in His. Your eternal destiny is determined by Him. And you have no control. You know, I like it that way. I like it that way. We're all at agreement regarding the person of Christ. And we're all of one mind concerning the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say with Paul, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing, remember who Paul is. Paul was used to write scriptures. You glory in that, Paul? No. Paul was used to establish churches. You glory in that, Paul? No. Whatever there was about Paul, he said, what things were gained to me, those things I used to count as positive and in a plus column, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss, but garbage, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count it but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Now here's where every believer is in complete agreement. There's not a shadow of difference. My only hope, and the only hope I want, is found in what Christ accomplished on Calvary's tree. When He said, it is finished, my salvation was finished. And my salvation was finished before I was even born. That's how little it has to do with my works. I wasn't even around when my salvation was accomplished. I was in the mind and purpose of God, but I wasn't around. Yet when He said, it is finished, my salvation was accomplished. The Scripture says, all the works were finished. Hebrews 4:3, all the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, I know people can turn that around and say, well, you're saying people don't have to believe the gospel. You're saying people don't have to repent. You're saying people don't have to come to Christ. Anybody hear me say anything like that? I'm not saying anything like that. If you're saved, you will believe. You will repent. You will come to Christ. That's part of being saved. But it was accomplished outside of my personal subjective experience. And that lets me know that it has absolutely nothing to do with my works. And you know, all of God's people say to that, amen. Amen. We believe that completely. We're all at perfect agreement. Jesus Christ is all. There's no discord here. There's no lack of unity here. We all believe that Jesus Christ is all. And what's that mean? That means He's all that God is. That means He's all to God. That means He's all in this book. This book is written to testify of Him. He's all in every doctrine. Any doctrine there is, He's the sum and substance of it. He is all. He's all the God. He's all that God requires of me. He's all that I have. Somebody says, Christ is all we need. No, He's all you got. He's all you got. All you need? Yes, that's true, but that's not the right way to say that. He's all you have. He is all. Is He all you have? Would you plead anything else before the Father but Christ and Christ alone? Well, if you can, you don't have any accord with me. We're not on one accord. We believe two totally different gospels. And one of us is believing a false gospel. We're at one accord regarding Christ being all. And we're all, every believer, is at perfect agreement, one accord, that salvation is by grace. And you know, I can cut to the chase on this. Because that's a word that every religious person would use. Oh, I believe in salvation by grace. Sure I do. So I can cut to the chase. What do you believe about divine election? That will tell what you really believe about grace. Election is God by His grace, sovereignly, unconditionally, choosing a sinner before time began in Christ to be saved, and saved they must be. If you don't believe that, you don't believe grace. If a man doesn't preach that, that man does not preach grace. Election is the G of grace. If you take away the word G, what do you have left? Race. Where only the fittest win and survive. I don't want anything to do with anything like that. Salvation is by grace. And every aspect of salvation, from election, from justification, is by grace. It's an act of His grace. Redemption is by His grace. The new birth is by His powerful, efficacious grace. Being preserved is by His grace. Being glorified is by His grace. And we're all in agreement with that. Every believer. Salvation is by grace. And every believer has the same evidence of salvation. And it's very important. Listen real carefully. What is the evidence that you're saved? Well, I'm different. I'm different than I used to be. I used to be a real rounder, and I used to take drugs and all kind of terrible things, and now I'm different. I've changed. I've straightened up. I now go to church. I now want to hear the gospel. I'm different. I seem to not have the trouble with sin I used to have. I seem to just be a better person. I believe God's really done something for me. Can't you see? If you think anything like that, you're blind as a bat. God's never done anything for you. You don't have a holy nature. Because if you had a holy nature, you'd know better than that. You wouldn't think such foolish thoughts. The only evidence... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for a changed life. But the only evidence that God has done something for you is that you look to Christ only as everything in your salvation. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence that God has elected me? I look to Christ. Right now, He's all I have. What's the evidence that God has justified you? All I have is Christ. What is the evidence that Christ died for you? All I have is Christ. What is the evidence that you've been regenerated? All I have is Christ. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And we all are at perfect agreement regarding who gets the glory in our salvation. No discord. No praise to human merit to jar this beautiful sound. Not unto us. Not unto us. But unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. The very thought of us getting any glory in our salvation nauseates us. Every believer feels that way. He gets all the glory. We all have the same desire to win Christ, to be found in Him, and to be perfectly conformed to His image. That is our great desire. To win Christ, to be found in Him, so when God sees me, all He sees is Christ. And to be perfectly conformed to His image. And we all want everybody to hear and to believe this message. Now I realize not everybody will believe this message, but everybody should. This is a faithful saying. And it's worthy of all acceptation. Everybody ought to receive this as the best news they've ever heard. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Everybody ought to rejoice in that. I know everybody won't, but everybody should. All of God's people are of one accord in all of those things. And if someone jars this melody and says, I don't believe that, then you can't say you're one of God's people. If you're at one accord with Him, and if I'm at one accord with Him, we'll be one accord with each other, won't we? We'll believe the precise same thing. May the Lord always give us this one accord to be like-minded, of the same mind. May, you know, only the Lord can give us this. But what a beautiful thing it is. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You would deliver us from anything but being of one accord with Thy Word, with Thy Son, with Thy Gospel. Lord, grant us this like-mindedness. Cause us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, with all humility and meekness and long-suffering, and forbearing one another in love. Lord, we ask that You would cause us to be of one accord at all times. And we ask that Your gospel might go forth from this place in the power of Your Holy Spirit, and that many men and women, boys and girls, might be brought to bow the knee and to trust Thy blessed Son. In His blessed name we pray. Amen.